Abe describes himself as a servant to reach the unreached. Originally from South India, he and his family have been serving in Bihar province, the graveyard of missions. And he wrote a book here called A Call to the Graveyard, which I'm sure he'll talk a little bit about. Graveyard of Missions, based in Patna and Motihari. Over 1,000 churches have been planted and hundreds of workers have been trained. For this year, their key targets are training 1,000 more workers and sending them into the field. Seeing 3,000 house churches, running 200 children programs, and 500 Sunday schools, conducting 1,500 village crusades. Like, those are big, big numbers. But God's at work, and God's laid that vision on their heart. And I want to challenge us today. What vision is God laying on our hearts, and will we be bold to step out into that? Amen? You know, we need to have that boldness to say, no, God, it's much, much bigger than our sometimes what our small vision can be. And so, brother, thank you for being here. All the way from India. And so the team that are with the Global Summit are headed across Canada. And so this is their first stop in Langley, and they're going to be headed across the country, going to Edmonton, I believe, Winnipeg. Thankfully, it's not January, because that would be a really, really rough thing to show up in Winnipeg in January without a really heavy coat and big boots. And so that's great. And then you're going to be in Montreal, I believe, Toronto. So it's a trip across the country to raise a level of understanding in our churches all across the nation. And so, Dr. Abe, you get to be with us. Do we just thank you?
We'll just pull that down a little bit.
A little closer. Yeah, there we go. Excellent. Can we just pray with you?
Please.
Yes. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for my brother. Lord, even though we've never met before, just a few days ago, we're family. And we thank you, God, that any church that preaches the name of Jesus, as we get together, we're all family. And God, I pray this morning that we would be inspired by the story of God through this brother, Lord, and through his team of people with India Mission. Lord, as they planted 1,000 churches in Bihar State in India, God, that we would be inspired, Lord, to see the vision that you have for us and to gather behind that vision and to walk out in boldness, in trust, Lord, as you lead, as you speak into that. So I pray this morning for my brother, God, that you just speak through him. Inspire us, Lord, through the word of God this morning. And Father, would you be glorified in everything that's said and shared. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm also from a Pentecostal church. The characteristic feature of Pentecostal church is hallelujah. I wanted to make it today morning. So I slept at around 12 o'clock and I woke up at around 1:40 or so. Then every half an hour or so I was waking up and I was seeing. Otherwise I would miss my prayer. And that's why I was sitting there and I was praying, Lord, let me not sleep. And you are living in a beautiful place, such a beautiful location. And I'm all the way from Bihar. If you search Bihar in any mission book, Bihar is the first sentence written in Operation World. The first sentence about Bihar is Bihar, graveyard of missions. The most unreached among the major population groups, not in India, but in the world. When God called me to Bihar, after my studies, I was teaching in a university. By God's grace, did my studies in environmental science. Was teaching in a university in our province, a master of environment management. Then God spoke to me, I saved you, and there are millions in India. They have heard even not once about Jesus. We have 500,000 villages in India, and 80% of villages never heard about Christ. So when I got that call, it was God's grace that we could move to Bihar. When you hear about our targets, you may think, how is it possible? But please remember, in Bihar, we are 120 million people. 120 million people. And maybe majority of them, they do not know who is Jesus. Never heard about Jesus. I remember my friend, he came from one place and he stayed in a hotel and he asked the room boy, have you heard about Jesus? And he was very polite, that room boy was. He said, sir, I don't know. Please ask in the reception. He thought Jesus is one person who took room in that hotel and who would be somewhere in the hotel. So it's heartbreaking. So our dream is that India will know Jesus. It's impossible for man. But if we partner with God, we believe it is possible. It should happen. Because we believe the coming of our Lord and Savior is so near. And it cannot happen that millions never have heard about this name, the only Savior. It is not that we lack gods and goddesses in India. We have millions of them. The only thing is that they are missing the true God. So this is our collective responsibility. I am coming from the southernmost part of India. We have, by the way, India government declared our state, Kerala, as a developed state. Our literacy is 100%. We work in Bihar. Their literacy is 40% or so. And in our place where I belong to, poverty is very less, very, very less. In Bihar, 50% of people, they live below poverty line. In our place, child mortality is at par with Canada and US. Infant mortality rate. But in Bihar, it is one of the highest. I don't know anybody in my state, in my province, who is illiterate. And in many villages in Bihar where we are working, which is 3,000 kilometers away from my province, in many villages, people do not know anybody who can read and write. The reason, missionaries from US, missionaries from UK, missionaries from the West, they came all the way to our province and they invested their lives and they shared the good news of Jesus with our forefathers. And today, by God's grace, holistic development happened in that place. So wherever the light of Jesus reach, holistic change happens. Equality, freedom. So this is our dream, that throughout the world this will happen. For that we need the vision. Today, we are going to meditate the word John chapter 8, 3 to 11. We know the story. It is written, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. John chapter 8, 3 to 11. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stopped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, She said, "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Shall we pray? Father, we come to your presence once again, Lord. Thank you for your mighty presence, O Lord. When we jump and when we dance, you are there. When we are in silence, when we are experiencing you are there. Thank you for this time of worship. Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see here rulers and teachers of the law brought a lady to the midst. Why? With right intentions or with wrong intention? Not with the right intention. Their intention was using this lady to trap Jesus. Their intention was not wrong. But they are bringing her to the midst as if they are all saints. Nobody is asking the question, she was caught in adultery, where is the man? They wanted to prove their point. They brought this lady with the wrong motive. And look at this woman. Majority was against her. Law was against her. It seemed God was against her. Because they are quoting the law. Law. It was given to Moses. Nobody other than God himself. So majority was against her. Law was against her. In a way, God was against her. Now they want response from Jesus. What is the motive? To trap Jesus. She was lonely. As I was sitting there, the Spirit of God told me to talk to you. If circumstances are against us, if we are feeling lonely, if nobody is there for us to bend upon, if we feel loneliness from expected quarters, if we are not receiving support, today the Spirit of God is saying, He is here to stand with us. In this time of worship, Jesus is here. But nobody is there. Law is against her. Majority is against her. Nobody is there to support her. Everybody together brought her to the midst. And everybody is accusing finger is against her. She cannot expect any help from anybody. If today we are in a situation where we cannot expect a help from anybody, somebody is here wholeheartedly receiving us, and even if majority is against us, everything is against us, and medical records are against us, even if everything is against us, here is somebody who want to save us. Hallelujah. Who want to say, I am with you. That is the nature of our Lord. But nobody was there to support this lady. What was the response of Jesus? Compassionate. The response of Jesus was compassion. He was merciful. They could say, this is the law you have given. If somebody is caught in adultery, you should throw stones and she should die. Is it not the law you have given? But Jesus worked beyond all laws. His law is mercy. His law is compassion. His law is love. Today he is here. The good news is that today he is here. Compassion. He acted like real light. What is the quality of light? Quality of light is it will remove darkness. There is a quality of light. She was in a kind of darkness. She's going to be finished. She was only seeing destruction, death, total darkness, no hope. And there are situations of no hope. The light of the world is here. When light will come, there is no need to give another command to darkness to go. The only thing for darkness to go is light to come. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he did not stop there. In Matthew, he is saying, you are the light of the world. So what is expected from us? We should go from island to island, from province to province, from nations to nations as true lights. And we no need to go and command, darkness, go. When light will reach there, you will search for darkness. Where is it? It is no more there. Why? Because light is there. Hallelujah. This is our role. This is the role of Christians when there is no hope. When majority is against. I am coming from a country, India. You know the system of casteism. 10% of people say we are Purohit, we are priests. Only they can be priests. The other 10% says we are kings, Rajputs. And they are rulers. Their God is telling, you are ruler. You cannot consider the other person as equal. Because he is a Shudra. Shudra means he is lower caste. And then there is outcast. And he should be considered as dogs. He should not be considered as human beings. Their God is telling, I have created them so that they will serve you. So if I go and tell him, brother, if I call an outcast, a lower caste, if I am upper caste, and if I call a lower caste brother, I am doing something against my God's wish. I am committing a sin because my God is telling you are up and he is down, and I am telling you are my brother. That means I am committing a sin. That is the kind of darkness. But what Jesus did when everybody is against that lady, when she did not have a stand in that society, when the society was not considering her as equal in those times, when nobody was with her, when law was against her, majority was against her, circumstances were against her, she was feeling lonely, she was seeing only death, there was total darkness, Jesus stood with her. What is the role of church? Role of the church is to go to darkness and not to command darkness go, but when you go, darkness will be gone. Hallelujah. That is the role of Pentecostals. That is the role of true Christians. And light is the need. Today this worship is happening. One reason why this worship is happening, I can tell you, because all the lights are on. Isn't it? You put this in darkness and everybody will be doing something so that there will be light. For things to happen, light is needed. Jesus claimed, I am the light of the world. And he removed darkness. And not only that, another important quality of light is it will reveal dirt. The quality of light is that it will reveal dirt, but it will not be soiled. Jesus, when asking, okay, you want to throw stones at her? Okay, those who did not commit sin, let him throw the first stone. And older, one first went. That means, depending on the age, they committed more and more sins. The older one went first because he committed more sins. The younger one then, he committed less sin because he did not get opportunities to commit sin. And this group is bringing one lady with all accusing fingers. This one, this lady.
And who was declared righteous? This one lady. Everybody went away. The quality of light is, it will not be soiled, but it will show. It will reveal the dirt. We need to be lights in society. We will not be soiled, but we are the standards. What is wrong and what is right? As I was in London coming to Canada, I saw the headline in newspaper, and the chief school inspector of England, his statement, the root of all serious problems of England is parents who are not teaching their children what is right and what is wrong. Let me translate it in this way. Parents who are not leading their children in God's way. Let us recognize this. Western world, you have given, your base is Christian. Why there is order? Why there is equality? Why there is a tendency to consider everybody equal? Because this is your base. Let us not forget this. Jesus was compassionate. He was merciful. He behaved as real light. He removed darkness. And he discerned motives. He understood the motive of all that crowd. He restored dignity. He restored this. And one whole crowd is bringing one lady to the midst. They are not concerned about her dignity. Jesus restored dignity. Whatever we lost, when we come to the presence of Jesus, he will restore everything back to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. He stood with the weak. If we are feeling weak in any way today, this is his promise that he will stand with us. He will not stand with the majority, but if you are weak today, he will make us strong. That is his promise. He protected the weak. He did a balancing act. Nobody asked the question, where is that man who committed sin? But Jesus did balance. He loved sinner. He came to proclaim freedom. That's what John 3:17 says. He did not come to condemn, but to release, but to proclaim freedom, to save. What a good God we serve. Dear church, today what is our role? Yes, did she commit sin? Yes. Everybody could say, yes, she committed sin and she should die. But are we able to see beyond? Are we able to see beyond? Jesus is looking for people who will see beyond, do beyond, go beyond. Today, God wants us to see greater visions. Where there is no hope, Jesus wants us to intervene. Where there is darkness, Jesus wants us to go. So that darkness will be removed. We went to Bihar. When we went to Bihar, one important thing we heard about Bihar, one flourishing business in Bihar is kidnapping. So please don't go there. That was the advice. Backbreaking roads, kidnapping, illiteracy, poverty. By God's grace, we could study very well. Got job. But the call was, go to dark places and be light. 1999, we went to Bihar. For 7 years, I was beaten. When I was speaking to a crowd of 8 people, and none of them were believers, another 8 people came, Hindu fundamentalists. After my small message, I was praying, and I thought a roof fell upon me. When I opened my eyes, 8 Bajrang Dal, Hindu fundamentalist group, was beating me. I was running for my life. So my relative said, please don't stay here. If you want, give some money, that's all. But by the grace of God, that time there was no believer. Today there are around 500 strong believers, all from Hindu background. Our God is great. And 7 years, seven believers. Church never give up. 7 years we worked. When I went to that place, our taught language is different. We speak a language called Malayalam. Your pastor knows. And there the language is Hindi. I could not speak even one sentence in Hindi. But God asked me to go there. I was suffering from asthma. Doctor told me never go to a place with where it is cold. In our province, there is no. Only our three seasons are hot, very hot, and more hot. And I thought, how can I go there? But what God did, what Jesus did, He healed me completely. Doctor told me, you will not be healed. That is in your gene. That is your DNA. This is your genetic problem. You will not be healed. But Jesus said, go. I am sending you. I am there for the last 14 years. It is very cold. There is no heating system. But by the grace of God, in the last 14 years, I never had an attack of asthma. Hallelujah. If you are facing a problem today, here is Jesus who can heal you. Praise God. 7 years, seven believers. Who will stay? Then in 2006, I was riding a motorcycle. God spoke to me. Abi, ask for 100 workers. And then He said, before I asking any question, like to Abraham, He asked me, next year 1,000 you should pray for. And next year 10,000. And then 1 lakh. When God stopped talking to me, I asked God, are you joking with me? In last 7 years, what I got is seven believers. And we don't have money to buy a fan, a microphone, not a cycle. And you are asking me to ask for 500 workers? From where they will come when we have only seven believers? From seven believers, will we get 100 workers? Oh, our God is God of Abraham. He says, from these stones I can make children for Abraham. If the whole world is telling you impossible, believe in God and say, it is possible with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are Pentecostal. We should shout hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And 2006, God said, ask for 100 workers. Like mad people, like we called a fasting and prayer. In the beginning, I said, this year God is going to give us 100 workers. I wrote to my friend, God spoke, this year God is going to give us 100 workers. He wrote to me, he knew me very well. He said, Abhi, your dream is very good, but seems to be impossible. But 2006 end. We had only seven believers, beatings, and graveyard and dry land, graveyard of missions. In that graveyard of missions, God gave us not 100 believers, but 100 workers. God miraculously provided. When a worker goes to a new place, when new place means those kind of people who would ask, we don't know, please ask in the reception, where is Jesus staying? We are sending people to places where Christ is never preached in history. We have to rent a house. We have to provide for their food. So around $60-$70 per month. And our God is a God of miracles. From then till now, God is providing. Hallelujah. Next year, an old hospital opened for us. We called people for training and 1,000 people trained. And then 10,000 trained. And then when God spoke, we could not buy even one television. One man asked, why don't you preach through television? That too in Hindi language. I could not speak one sentence in Hindi. But this is our living God. And by God's grace, we went to a television station and I said, we want to speak about Jesus. Hindu people, they don't know about Jesus. He said, this is the fee. we said, oh, this is very high, but we don't have money, but we want to speak about Jesus. And they said, oh, okay, okay, we understood. Please start the program. Then onwards, every day for 15 minutes, daily 15 minutes, we are telling to the whole Hindu crowd that Jesus is the real Savior. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Miracle working God. That God, by the way, is here today. Hallelujah. To remove darkness, to bring light, to remove loneliness, to make us into His family, to our long asking questions. For many years we are asking questions, when I will be, when there will be deliverance, this is the day. God will do that miracle. So many people came from Hindu background, our idol worshippers. Liberation stories are many. Pastor, will you please show some pictures? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. All Hindus. Maybe sometimes you think, oh, today it is too hot. Today it is too cold. See the place of worship. This is our typical house church. When we went there, not seven believers, but now by the grace of God, there are more than 1,000 such house churches. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Next, yeah. You know, all these people, yeah, the one before, yes. All these from Hindu faith, none of them have a Christian history. All came to know Jesus during the last 5-6 years. They are not believers. They are enjoying their freedom in Christ. All are workers. Christian workers, trained evangelists, thousands. When we went there, not 10. Seven believers in 2006. Today, 1,000 workers. Can you say, can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah! They are enjoying. Before they used to go to idols for blessings. Today, they are worshipping the real true God. Praise God. They are dancing and they are singing and they are worshipping the... Yes, see? All Hindus, all from Hindu background, they found a new God. His name is Jesus. He is not a dead God, but He is the living God. Hallelujah! He is PAOC pastor. He was visiting us. Praise God. Yeah, this is a story of one boy, the red color shirt. His mother was raped. Today we read the portion. Why? Because she took one grain also when she was going through the field, one rice grain, and she just ate. The person came, and this is another woman, idol worshipper, her story, Bindeshwari. She was suffering from various diseases. She went to one place of worship. Pastor prayed for her. And miraculously he got healed. She got healed. This lady who never heard about Jesus today, she is leading a worship of around 150 all Hindu converts. Our God is miracle working God. Dear church, great things are happening. This illiterate lady, now she is singing the song which she made in praise of Jesus. God is doing great things. Next, Pastor. Children. Illiterate children. We brought them to our children's home. Today, they are getting education. They are receiving Jesus. They are learning Bible. Their personality is changed. Why? Because when the light will come, darkness will go. The spiritual personality will change. Illiterate kids, now they are best students in their school. Praise God. They are, these children, all from Hindu background, they are worshipping and they are speaking in tongues. God. See? Tribal child. They are not afraid. They are not fearful. They are not shy. Why? Because light entered their hearts. Hallelujah. Dear church, there is a great gap. There is a great gap. In your area, there are many places where Christ is not preached. We work in Bihar, 45,000 villages. 1:10 ratio churches are being formed. But still, around 30,000 villages where Christ is never preached. Christ is never preached. Please ask yourself, what can I do? How can I involve? We have 100 children in our children's home. We are praying for 1,000 children. Their lives will be changed. One girl who is studying in BSc, she was studying graduation. She would do extra work to support 10 children in children home. When one man is sent to a new area, 10 villages are evangelized. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine, I could not imagine 1,000 people. This photo you saw just now, this we took only 2 weeks before. We had our workers, annual workers meeting. Illiterate kids, beautiful, beautiful cards they make, thanking their God. These kids made this. I took one as a sample. To show you what if we invest in kids, what change they can bring. Let me tell you, church, Jesus came to declare freedom. When everybody was against this girl, this lady, he stood with her. That is our role. That is our duty. That is our call. World is waiting for us. They were following dead gods. But now this is our role to go, to send, to support, and proclaim the word so that the world will know there is one true God. And millions will come to the knowledge of Christ. Today, if you are going through a difficulty, if you are lonely, if everything is against you, everybody is against you, circumstances are against you, there is hope in Jesus. And you have a role, please don't forget. There are millions waiting. They are crying, who will give us Jesus? Let them listen about Jesus at least once in their lives. Where it will start? It will start in Gibson. You will tell to your neighbor about Jesus. You will plant churches in nearby islands and you will look beyond, and we together will be able to do that. There are millions, hundreds of villages never heard about Christ. If an evangelist will go there, 1:10 ratio, churches are being formed. Before a few years, we could not train even 10 people in 1 year. But today we are training 1,000 people in 1 year. None of them have a Christian background, all from Hindu background. I want to tell you, church, I came all the way from Bihar to this island. First time, maybe last time. Next time when we will meet in heaven maybe. But I want to want you to consider this. Invest in the kingdom of God. Invest your life. By God's grace, I was university first rank holder. Did environmental science. By God's grace, doctorate with a national award. Left to that place. Why? And today I am so happy. Thousands of people came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us invest in heaven. Let us invest among people. Let us stand with the weak And let us proclaim the word of God. Shall we pray?
Dr. Abey, thank you. I hope you're inspired this morning as God is speaking and sharing, you know, what we've shared, what we've heard today, what God's doing and what God is able to do, so much more than we can ever imagine. So Dr. Abey, could you pray for us? Pray that as God is leading us as a church and as his people and more are being added to the church daily, that we would have a vision to see what he sees and go in that direction.
Father, we come to your presence. Lord, thank you for this beautiful church, these loving children of you. Lord, help church to see the vision you have set for them, O God. Lord, help the church to see what you want them to see. And let it be done, O God. Let great things, impossible things, let it be accomplished. Through you. And we know you don't want us to do ordinary things. You want us to do impossible things. Because you are with us. Let it happen in this church, O God. Put that vision in each member of this church. And let mighty things happen. Lord, in your name, we bless this church. Let that anointing fall upon each one of those who are sitting here, O God. Let your name glorified in this place and beyond, O God. Lord, let the light spread. Let the darkness go. You use your people, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your grace. We commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
So, Dr. Abey, before you go, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions. God's been leading us, you know, he's been leading me over the last year and a half. One of the things that he's been speaking is that we are to actually plant a couple ministries here in the Sunshine Coast. And I'm in a process of sharing vision. Started last week. I'm going to be, over the next two Sundays, speaking, sharing that vision. But you've planted many churches, 1,000 churches, and raised leaders. And I've been praying, God, bring leaders. And God's been doing that. When we started these different ministries in the church, those are leaders that God spoke to and raised them up. And I believe that God's going to continue to do that. Raise up leaders, and bring the people that need to be here to see the church grow. Not only here, but in other parts of this area. If I was to ask you a question, what would be one thing that, or one or two things that we really should stay focused on together as a congregation to keep our trust in him as we would step out really in faith, yeah, believing? I mean, we're talking about two ministry plants, church plant. Well, that's so minuscule in contrast to what you've done. But what could you encourage us with as we look to him?
Yeah, what we did and what I think we should do is we should start with prayer and fasting. And we should make a plan. When there is no plan, it will not accomplish. When there is a plan, things will start happening. So with prayer and fasting, when we were only 10, we sat for 3 days, fasting and prayer, and we then made a plan. And we saw it happening. So my suggestion is, let us have more time in prayer and fasting and make a plan. Like next year, this is our plan. And then train. And it will be very small. Let us not go for all our churches are house churches. When somebody believes, they will open their house. A miracle will happen. All Hindus. And then two or three will gather. We call it seed church. Beginning of church. Then more miracles will happen. More people will join. And in a house church, there will be 20, 30, 10 people. And it will multiply. Every pastor, evangelist running 5 to 10 churches. How? Not only on Sunday, they go by cycle up to 10 kilometers. One in this village, one in that village, one in that village. So prayer, fasting, plan, and responsibility sharing and training. Simple training, what we are going to do, what we are saying, developing leadership. I believe then it will definitely happen.
Excellent. You know, sometimes we can have that mentality, well, we're a small church, we're not able to do those things, but God is able. God is able, and if God speaks into it, you better go. And I'll be talking about that next Sunday, but if God speaks into it, we better be willing to go there. Otherwise, we'll miss out on what he has for us. We're not called to be afraid of his leading. We're called to engage in his leading. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Abey, thank you so much. And I just want to pray for you before you go, because you're going to be speaking all across the country.
Yeah.
And I just want to pray that God would continue to speak through you as you encourage congregations and people all across the country. Lord, we just pray for our brother Abey. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you for the fact that we're encouraged this morning to trust in a big God. A God who is doing amazing things in all parts of the world. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in Bihar State. We thank you, God, for how you're mobilizing workers. Not just tens of them, but hundreds of them.
Jesus.
God, we just thank you that the church is growing. The church is being built. And Lord, you call us to the same here. You're the same God. And God, I pray for Brother Abey as he goes and is a part of this team, again, across the country. Lord, would you use him? God, would you allow the words that would come out of his mouth, Lord, to glorify you? God, that he would be encouraging this nation, the people across this nation, to see you, God, in a bigger light. To see you as the God of the possible, not the impossible. To
yes.
see you as the God who wants to see many, many, many people come to know him.
Jesus.
Because, Lord, as long as there are people in this nation who don't know you, there's still much, much work to be done.
Jesus.
And so, God, we just pray, Lord, be with him and lead him on as he goes with the team across the country, encouraging churches and people. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. We're going to just close again this morning. If you're here this morning and God's speaking to you and maybe he's been sharing with you something that you need to be a part of and you need to be engaged in here, because God's called you here for a reason. He's called us here for a reason, for this time. And so we are going to be engaging in a plan, as Dr. Abey's already mentioned, over the next 3 years. And I'll be sharing more about that next week and the week after as well, as God reveals kind of this plan that we will walk into and be a part of over the next 3 years to grow his church here in Gibson's and the Sunshine Coast and ultimately around the world. Amen? Amen. So why don't you just stand with me if you can right now, and we're just going to close with a word of prayer, actually. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you that since 1946, actually even before 1946, God, you had a plan and a purpose for this place. And Lord, we can look back and think, well, 1946 is a long time ago. But the reality is, God, time is nothing to you because you're eternal. And so the plans that you had then and the plans that you have today into the future, God, it's all one to you. And Lord, for us as finite people, as people with a beginning and an end, Lord, we need to wrap our minds around that. And so, Father, I pray today that we've been encouraged to engage in you, not to walk in fear, not to walk in the small, but to walk in the large vision that you have. God, is to glorify you, not to glorify man, not to glorify a church or a building or any person, Lord, but to glorify you, God Almighty. And Father, we are encouraged this morning that you, God, have so much in store, not only for us, God, but for many people all around the world. And I pray this morning, God, that we would catch that vision, Lord. We would allow you to speak in, Lord, and expand our vision of what you are doing and what you have. God, we get so caught up in that focused little thing, God, that we call our day-to-day life. But yet you have so much more. You see so much further beyond that. Help us to see that also. God, you never give us more than we can handle. So, God, show us the next step as we move forward. And, Lord, we all come before you, and we ask you to lead us on. God, I pray for each and every one of us here today. Lord, speak and lead us on as individuals. Lead us on in our families. Lead us on as a church. Lord, lead us on with our neighbors. Lead us on, Lord, with the people that we have influence with. To share the light, because as Dr. Abey said, when the light comes, we don't have to command the darkness to go. It's gone. It's gone. And we are people of the light. And God, we just believe that you reside in us, and we are a reflection of your glory and your light. So God, help us to do that and not believe any of the lies of the enemy that would say that we are not worthy. Because Jesus, you live in us. And because of that, we are worthy. So, Father, come and set us free to do what you call us to do today and into this week. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Pray your richest blessings as we move forward in your name, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. In your name, Father, we pray. Amen. Amen.